Apuleius in the Underworld, A Footnote to Metamorphoses, Chapter 11, by John Carey. Copyright 1995 by the author. Originally published in Alexandria 3. John Carey is based at the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies, where he teaches Celtic languages and literature. His articles have appeared in many publications, including Temenos, Aveloka, and Gnosis. In this commentary on Chapter 11 of The Golden Ass, he connects Lucius's experiences with the ancient Egyptian concept of the Amduat, demonstrating the Egyptian tradition contained within the Isis mysteries.
The high point of the 11th book of Apuleius' Metamorphoses is undoubtedly the moment when the protagonist Lucius, who has suffered throughout most of the narrative in the form of an ass, miraculously regains his human appearance during a festival of Isis. What follows, although an anticlimax in merely narrative terms, has a vivid interest of its own. We are told how the grateful youth became a student of the mysteries of Isis, and was at last rewarded with enlightenment. The veiled passage in which he refers to this epiphany runs as follows. "Listen then, but believe, for my account is true. I approached the boundary of death, and treading on Proserpina's threshold, I was carried through all the elements, after which I returned. At dead of night, I saw the sun flashing with bright effulgence. I approached close to the gods above and the gods below, and worshipped them face to face. Behold, I have related things about which you must remain in ignorance, though you have heard them." Much has been written about these suggestive lines, and it is not my purpose to recapitulate all of the relevant scholarship here. Rather, I take as my point of departure the views of J. Gwynne Griffiths, who, in his exhaustive commentary on the 11th book, has repeatedly drawn attention to points in which Apuleius' account reflects native Egyptian tradition. In the case of the present passage, Griffiths has argued for a connection between Lucius' revelation and ancient Egyptian doctrines of the afterlife, particularly the descriptions of the sun god's nocturnal journey through the underworld, which are found in certain funerary treatises. Further evidence of such a connection is furnished by the rituals which follow the Epiphany, in which Lucius successively dons 12 cloaks, then appears to the populace wearing a radiant crown and holding a torch. Not only do I find Griffith's position persuasive, but I believe that it can be taken further. The purpose of this note is to suggest that in hinting at the mysteries of Isis, Apuleius was actually paraphrasing an Egyptian text. Themes similar to those which we glimpse in Apuleius' cryptic description can be found in many Egyptian funerary writings. Thus we find the following at the beginning of a spell in the Book of the Dead. "Secrets of the Netherworld, Mysteries of the God's Domain. Seeing the disk when he sets in life in the west, and is adored by the gods and the blessed in the netherworld. As for every blessed one for whom this role is used, his soul goes forth with men and gods. It goes forth by day in any form it wishes to assume. It is not kept away from any gate of the west in going in or out. It prevails among the gods of the netherworld, for it is one who cannot be repelled. These gods surround it and recognize it. Then it exists like one of them. It knows what befalls it in the light. It exists as a blameless soul." The similarities here are suggestive, but a closer parallel can be found. One of the most important and widely disseminated accounts of the sun's night journey was the work known as the Amduat, first written circa 1500 BCE. Not too long thereafter, an abridged version was produced, and this proved extremely popular. It has been found carved in several tombs, and there are a great many papyrus copies. In summarizing the original Amduat, the reviser abstracted the names and magic words which it was most useful for the deceased to know, omitting descriptive passages and speeches placed in the mouths of supernatural beings. But he also added sections at the beginning and the end. Here are the lines which appear as the conclusion of the shorter version. The beginning is light. The end is primeval darkness. The sun's path westward, the secret schemes which this God achieves. The chosen clues, the secret writing of the underworld, which is not known by anyone save the chosen. Thus is that image made, in the secrecy of the underworld, invisible, imperceptible. Whoever knows these secret images is well provided for, is an initiate. Always he goes in and out of the underworld. Always he speaks to the living ones, as has been proved true millions of times. Nearly everything in Apuleius' description is here as well. The statement that only the initiate can understand the secrets being discussed, the journey into and out of the underworld, the privilege of communing with the gods, the assertion of the truth. The only significant omission is the lack of any direct reference to the sun's night journey. But this is, of course, the subject of the Amduat as a whole. On the strength of these correspondences, I propose that the mysteries into which Apuleius was initiated retained strong links with the pharaonic past, and that the abridged version of the Amduat was one of the scriptures from which he was instructed. The wonders which he experienced are, indeed, close to us. But I think that he may have told us a little more than he intended.